Okay, so we're holding here in Simen Shin Yud Zayin, Sif Bet. But just before we begin, I want to relate to a question that was asked last week in terms of killing versus trapping. The Mechaber in Simen Shin Tes Zayin speaks about the heter to trap a bee. And it seems like you can trap the bee, you can't kill the bee. Assumption being the bee is not so dangerous, but it's more than, there were different levels of mazikim. There were things that were just annoying, like, you know, a mosquito, assuming there's no virus going around. It's just annoying, you can flick it off, you can't kill it, you can't trap it. And there are things that are very dangerous, or even if they're not running after you, they could be potentially very dangerous. And then there are things like bees, which, you know, are very painful, but they're not dangerous. Again, assuming you don't have any allergies. So the Mechaber says in Siv Zayin, Tzad Nachash, V'akar V'shavas, Shav V'mazim, Yilafur Chayev. Okay. And then, I'm trying to find the place, he basically says that you can trap them, you can't kill them. Sorry, in Siv's test, Parush, Asalohar, go fine. Trying to find the exact quotation, but basically the Be'er Halacha distinguishes between killing and trapping by claiming that trapping is a double drabanan. Killing is only one drabanan. If you kill an animal, so it's just machlanishin tzirkul gufa, and that it's true drabanan, but it's a weak drabanan. First of all, the Rambam holds that you're chayiv, and also you change your machshava k'rebi deraisa. So, as opposed to trapping an animal, an insect that nobody traps, so it's ein mitnitza b'mino nitzod, and ein tzrich l'gufa. So in the middle category, I don't see the space for sif here right now, but in the middle category, so we'll tell you can trap the bee, but we're not going to tell you that you can kill the bee, because killing the bee is a one drabanan, and trapping it is a double drabanan. Okay, so that's an interesting idea that sometimes will be more makeable by a double drabanan.
It's not the
mean,
what's the second one?
It's that's the same for killing, but it's also in mina nitza. Okay, let's continue here with Sif Beis in Simen Shin Yud Zayin about kosher. The Chaver says nishmatu bo letzuos minala v'sandala ash nishmat rov haregel muter lachzer letzuos mkoman v'vad shelo yikshar. So the reality of the Mechaber speaking about something that's a little bit foreign to us, our shoes aren't, you know, I mean, again, they probably are tied together, but it's not like shoe's going to fall apart, and you can, like, put a ritsua in to tie it together. So the reality is, nishmatu lo ritsuos, so if the ritsua of the shoe falls out, and now the shoe is flopping, the sole of the shoe is flopping off the top, mutlak zero ritsuos become a vegetable yikshi, you can't tie. You can stick in the ritsu, you can't tie. If it requires a certain amount of efforts, then we could be concerned that you're going to want to tie it. You want it to fall out again, because if it falls out again, you're going to have to spend time stringing the string back into the shoe. So, like I said, the reality is a little different today. Today, usually if your shoe falls apart, you're not going to try to fix it on your own. And most people just throw them out. But the Mishnah does discuss something that is relevant, and that is in terms of putting your laces in the shoes. What's the problem with putting laces in shoes? So the first time you're wearing the shoes, it's like a gemar malach of sorts. And I think that is the case. Usually you put your laces in the shoes and you leave them there. So the shoe isn't really finished, if you will, until you put the laces in. So if you have a brand new pair of shoes, you have to make sure to put laces in before Shabbos, not on Shabbos, because that would be a violation of Makom Patish. The Mishnah Berurah points out, though, that if you want to put, you know, a belt in your pants, that's not makom patish, because people put them in and take them out. It's normal that people switch. I assume if a woman has a unique dress and there's a special matching belt that she's not going to take out, then it would be equivalent to a shoe. But that's probably, you know, not so common. Again, maybe it is common for women. I don't know. For men, people take their belts in, they put them out. It's really not an issue whatsoever. Fine. Let's move on. To Sif Gimel. Savar says, Matirin based Savar Mikesher Shakasher Kovis. This is also something that we don't really have today. When you send something to the cleaners, they just clean it. They don't tie it a certain way so it shouldn't get ruined in the wash. But the description here is of a base savar. You have, let's say, it's a tzitzis. There's a hole in the middle of the tzitzis. So when they wash it or dry it, so it's going to get wrinkled. So what do they do? They somehow kosher it shut. So then when they can, again, I'm not exactly sure how they wash or dry it. It seems like they were pulling and they want everything to stay where it is. So they were kosher the hole. And then they're going to untie it. So that kesher, a kesher shakayama, it was just there to wash it. So the Mechaber says, if you buy a new beged, a new pair of tzitzis, our tzitzis come with a hole in it. Well, if you buy a beged, a piece of material, and you make a hole in the middle, that would be, you know, mitakin mana. So obviously, if you make the hole, it would be korea. But let's say they would come tied, and you have to like untie for the very first time, some type of equivalent of mitakin mana. So that would be aser. Again, there's machlokes shown him if this is a mitakin mana or is a korea. But either way, if it's the very first time, the equivalent for us would be, let's say, opening the pocket in a suit jacket. Sometimes the pocket in a suit jacket come sewed. So if you open that for the very first time, so then you have the issue, is that makapati, is that korea, you know, is it both? But that would be potentially usur. That would be usur based on the tzalach. Now what's interesting is that in the Mechaber, we basically have a source that seems to indicate that a kesher of the koves is permissible. It's not clear that you got your laundry the same day service. Meaning, let's say you left it at the cleaners for a week and you picked it up after a week and you undid it. It was a kesher that was made for temporary, he's going to take him 5 hours to wash your garment. So it was made for 5 hours. As far as he's concerned, you can come pick it up the same day. You might pick it up a week later. So how do you look at a kesher that's made for temporary use? It might sit there for a while. Do we say that it's considered permanent? Because it was there for, again, permanent forever, but it's considered, let's say, a drabanan. Let's say it's more than a day, more than 3 days, more than a week, or not. So,
staples, like from a dry cleaner?
Right, so it's a similar issue. You send something to the cleaners, and they come back with a little name tag, you know, with staples. Can you open that up? So if you look here, the Rama actually deals with this. So again, the Isra Dereisa of a sacking is when you're opening it for the first time. It's not even the first time, even if it was like closed professionally in a way that Kederach Shalomani Mosin. Like again, the pockets of a suit jacket were open at one point. It wasn't like there was never a pocket. It's not like, you know, you bought a piece of material and made a hole in the middle for your head. That pocket was made as a pocket, and they inspected it. And then they closed it up to make it like look... I guess they don't want it to wrinkle on the way. I don't know exactly why they close the pockets, but
Some people never open the pockets.
Some people never open them, but some people do open them. But the point is that it was a pocket. It was a functional pocket before they closed it. It wasn't like, again, that's what I think. I mean, as far as I know.
Most of them. Sometimes like over here is the middle pocket, but like here is mostly
closed. But it had a shame pocket, and it was closed by the Uman, and now you open it, it's us. Okay, that's just a side point. So here, if you buy shoes, the shoes would come as a pair. So usually we buy shoes that come in a box. Before they had boxes, what did they do? The Uman would tie the shoes together so you don't mix them up. You want a pair. So you're gonna. This would be equivalent to the socks. You buy a pair of socks, and how do they come? There's usually a little piece of plastic that is threaded through both socks. So are you allowed to take that off or not? So the first day in the Rama is that also a natik. It's aser. So the question is, we have the concept of kayama and not kayama by kosher. What about tofer? Right? Would that be the same? Would that be equivalent? So the second day of the Rama is that it's mutter. So the Achronim write that we hold that it's mutter. So again, if you buy a pair of socks, so it's always better to cut the tags off before. But the issues here are potentially korea, potentially misakin mana. Lamaisa, we assume that it's mutter. It's Ramatir, of course, that's what we're learning. we hold Tzolos Mutter Mikra Din based on this second day in the Rama. The Rama says Ein L'Hadif Neim Aretz, people aren't going to understand, so you have to be careful how you do it. You don't want to mislead people, but fundamentally Mikra Din is Mutter. I think the idea is that kosher is a malacha of connecting two items. These two items you never wanted to be connected. You wanted the socks not to get lost. You don't want the shoes to get lost. So they weren't connected as a connection. It was just a functional way of delivering the socks, right? So Mela, there's no iser to open them up.
Or that would be like the back of the sujati. The back flap.
Right. Similar thing. So
like it's meant to be open, but transit.
By the balabai.
Right, but that I think is maybe more chamor midin mitzakin mana. Because there, you know, the two socks are stuck together. They're complete socks. They just want to transport them in a certain way. Here, I wonder. I'm not sure. The fact that they sew the flaps on the back of the shoe jacket, that's a certain crease, or is that like an act of like completing the you buy a new thing and you finish it off. I'm not clear.
I think the pockets are finish off the flaps.
The flaps are more like the socks.
Or also, then you fold the suit with the flap. Then you just.
I hear what you're saying. So maybe talk about you about this. I hear you saying. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but I hear. There's some acronym who want to argue based on this that if you have a food item in a plastic bag and you made a knot at the top of the plastic bag, so again, we are machmir generally not to undo knots, even single knots, meaning a single knot at the end of a rope, at the end of a bag. It's very strong, so we're choshesh, it might be a kesher uman. So it sounds like a pretty big chashash, a very small chashash rather. But Chaznish says make a din is mutter, but the minute the Rama says we shouldn't make a knot at the end of a rope. So a knot at the end of a bag is like a knot at the end of a rope, it's very strong.
Sorry, can you explain knot, meaning a slip knot or a.
No, like a real knot, not a slip knot. A slip knot is mutter, we're going to get that soon. You take a. The end, just like you take a piece, it's one of your scissors, and you make a knot at the end. It's a very strong knot. So you take the end of a bag, and you roll it together and make it into like a string, and you make a knot at the end of a garbage bag. So we don't do that on Shabbos. We don't throw out, again, there's certain kulas, but Mikra Din, it's better not to do that, because we're concerned that that might be considered a kesher uman. Again, throwing it out is also an interesting question, because you're going to throw it out, you don't want it anymore. So there's Maral Diskin who says that's not really the fact that it lasts in the garbage dump, that's not significant.
Like
but
the
we, yeah, like the diaper. We are trying to rely on that with chatchilas. So usually we try to make a slip knot on garbage, or make a single knot, which is not really very effective because you just it can come undone in a second. But Lemaisa, there's some chronim who want to dayek that if a person had a bag, at the end of the bag there's knots, a knot. So can you open the bag to eat the food? So the argument is that just like the shoes, you don't knot to use them. It's just a functional knot in order that the shoes don't get lost. So to here, you want the food to stay fresh, but it's not really a knot that you want as a knot, and therefore you want to undo that knot. I don't think we rely on that lechatchila. I think usually you tell a person if there's a knot, at the end of a bag, rip the bag open.
Right.
But there is a svara to say that it's mutter because the knot here is not a knot that you. Want to for not in a sense it's a function. You don't want the tzitzis to come apart. Not at the end of the bag, where the function is it's keeping the food fresh. But really, you want to use the food. It's just until you want to use it. So mela, it's considered as a temporary quote unquote. And then every mutter. So it seems like there's a svar lahat here. I don't think most people anyway. Open up and people. The truth is, if you have a bag of rolls, you can like open up the knot. Today, usually they sell. Bags with either like a hard piece of plastic at the edge that like kind of like got together at the end of the bag. I'm talking about like a bag. You go to buy a bag of rolls in the McCullough. So how is the bag closed? It's usually like a piece of
plastic.
So you could have a twist tie or in America it's often a twist tie. In Israel it's often a piece of plastic, a hard piece of plastic, and in the plastic there's like a little hole, and there's a little hole in the plastic, and you put the what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It looks. You ever buy lechem achid? It looks like this. It looks like a square, and there's a hole in the middle, and there's a very tiny crack from the hole to the side.
Yeah.
And you put the bag in the hole, and then when you want to open it, you like push it through the crack. Put the bag. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Fine, so that's not a shayla at all. A twist tie is an interesting shayla. What's the shayla of a twist tie? There is a tolda, the Rambam brings down, a tolda of kosher is posel psilim, making, it's not only issue to tie a rope, but to make a rope would be a tolda. And someone will argue, how do you make a rope? You take, like, you know, it's a couple of shmonas, you take a little ropes and you twist them together. Some want to say that when you use a twist tie, it's like you're making a rope out of the twist tie. It's very bichidish. Because, what do you mean, the twist tie is a rope? The twist tie is just there to close the bag. It's very hard to see the dimyon. There are posts who say it's usher, posts who say it's mutter. Some posts who want to say that if it's within 24 hours, so then it can't be worse than a kesher, and therefore it would be mutter. But another eitz, if you want to avoid the whole thing with a twist tie, you can use the twist tie. Instead of twisting one side over the other, you just twist it as a circle, like again and again and again. That would certainly be okay, because then it wouldn't look like you're making a rope. That's a pretty big chiddush to say that twist tie is like posel psilim, but there are people who suggest that. Fine. Anyway. Let's continue with Sif Dalet. The Chaver says, "Kosher in the leaf of a shicha of a avnet kiyotze bo v'lo b'chevel." So there's a concern Chazal had that if you would tie something, you might leave it there. If you leave it there, so you made a kesher, so the kesher is going to be undone the same day, no problem, right? Unless it's a kesher uman, and we're not really sure what kesher uman is, so we're pretty machmir, but fine. But let's say there's a concern that you're going to leave it there, right? So the Chaver says, if it's a rope that you might leave, you have a pail, and you have a regular rope. So you might end up leaving the pail attached to that rope. So then it can't even let you, because that's normal derech. People don't usually undo the pail from the rope every time they go to the well. It's usually there, kavua. The rope broke on Friday. Shabbos morning, you realize, you want to fill your bucket full of water. So you tie a new rope. A new rope, you're going to leave it there. So what do? You tie something you're not going to leave there. You take something that's you use in your home. You take your tablecloth. You're not going to leave your tablecloth attached to the pail, because you want your tablecloth. So the Chaver says, lo b'chevel, you can't use a chevel, but with mashicha, ba'avne, you can make a gartel. You're not going to leave your gartel attached to the pail. It's a one-time usage. And then you'll go to a hardware store on Sunday, and you'll buy a rope, and that you'll leave there. So again, it depends on how you use it, but if you have a regular pail you leave there, so you can't use a regular rope, because we're concerned that you're going to end up leaving it there. This issue of being concerned a kesher might remain is a din rabbana. So a person, we said that your machshava is very significant in the issur of kosher. If you're thinking of undoing it, it could be a heter gomer. If you're thinking of leaving it forever, it's a deraisa. According to Rashi, it's all a function of your machshava for Rashi. We don't care about the type of kesher so much. I mean, it has to have a shame kesher, but even if it's not a kesher uman, it could be doraisa, according to Rashi. Now, this is a big issue with shoes. But in truth, let's learn Sif Hei, and then we'll talk about shoes. So Sif Hei tells us that not everything is called a kesher. Aniva mutar, the lav kesher. So if you have a bow is not a kesher. Or for that matter, a slipknot. A slipknot is not a kesher. Right? So here, it's an interesting sif in the Ramah. The Ramah says if you make a kesher, and then you make it on top, and make a bow on top rather, that would be nohagim boheter. We do this all the time with our shoes. How do we tie our shoes? We make a kesher. It's not a double knot, it's a single knot. It'll come out. Then we put a bow on it. The bow strengthens the kesher. So we hold you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. The Mishnah points out that you have to have kavanah to undo it the same day. Because a regular slipknot, that's not a kesher at all. A regular bow, it's not a kesher at all. You do it, you can tie the garbage like that and let it be there, no problem. But a slipknot, what we call a bow on top of a knot, what we do on our shoes, that's more problematic because the bow strengthens the knot. So therefore, we're machmir, you should undo it the same day. So most people take off their shoes and untie the laces. Not everybody does. Some people slip off their shoes. So what happens if you slip off your shoes? So even if you slip off your shoes, mistama, you're gonna re-tie them within a week. So since there's a machlokes, what the shear is, it's only mutter within 24 hours, within a week, so the post mistake you can make it. Now, it's not always the case. My wife has a pair of boots that has a zipper on the side, and on the front, there's like a bow, like a laces, looks pretty, and you never undo that. So if that would come undone on Shabbos, it would be usher to re-tie that bow, because that's a bow that's just there for beauty, and you really have no need to undo it. And I can't say, oh, I'm going to tie it and undo it Moshe Shabbos. And we're worried, because I'll make a gezeira, you shouldn't make a knot that you usually tie forever in such a way that you're going to have kavana to undo it, because you might not end up undoing it. This issue also was once very relevant. So like I said, most people, even if they slip off their shoes, they eventually tie them within a week. So it's not an issue. Again, theoretically, you know, if you have like a pair of Shabbos shoes and you slip them off and you only untie them a week later, that might be an issue. But it's a good habit to untie your shoes and to retie them, not to slip them off. It's probably also in terms of support of your foot. It doesn't really support your foot very well if you can slip off your shoes. So, okay.
What if it unties every 2 weeks?
So then it would be a potentially Issur Drabbanan. You know, it would only be Issur Drabbanan.
Can
Issur
Shel Uman less than 24 hours to slip on, or no?
Yeah, we're machmer for if
any kesher.
Yeah, so, and we don't really know what kesher one is, so therefore there's a concern that any double knot would be, let's say, included.
That's even less than 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now this issue used to be very relevant by mincha when you would do galila, because I don't know if you remember when I was a kid, they didn't have velcro. We spoke about this. Okay, so they didn't have velcro, so you had like this gartel you make a bow on. So the poskim say there's a svar lahatir that I probably mentioned last week, because if you look in Sif Aleph, the Rama brings down that if it's tzarich mitzvah, it's mutter. So it's tzarich mitzvah, and coupled with the fact that it's also within 3 days, it's within a week. You're gonna if you have the Sefer Torah be opened on Monday. Now that's only true if the Sefer Torah be opened on Monday. It was once at a Shabbaton at a girls' school, they had a Sefer Torah there, and they used it like 3 times a year, like when they have a Shabbaton. So they had a Shabbos Mincha, and it was an old Sefer Torah, and they had a Gartel, and they wanted, you know, there were only like 10 men there, like, you know, 100 women. So they asked me to do Galila. So what do you do in that case? Do you do Galila in such a case where you're going to end up undoing it only in 3 months? So that's already a concern with, you know, Daraisa, potentially. If you have to put a lot of assumptions, you have to assume that a kesher, a nival gavi kesher, is already, you know, a chashas daraisa, which isn't clear, and you have to assume that 3 months would be daraisa. Also, what's daraisa? You know, the rabban is a short amount of time. Daraisa is kayama. What's kayama? Only forever? What about a month? What about 3 months? What about 6 months? What about a year? So it's probably better in that case to take the gartel and just wrap it around and stick it in. That would not be a problem of kosher at all. You didn't make a kesher. You didn't make a bow over a knot. You just wrapped it around. In fact, I think the Yekesh Minag is that they always do it like that. They always have this like very long gartel, and they always wrap it around and around and around. Maybe it's to avoid this shaila. I'm not really exactly sure. It's actually interesting minag. They usually like take the cloth that the child sat on at the bris, and they make from it the gartel. Such a minag, the Yekesh Minag. The problem is that, you know, you don't even have Sefer Torah, because a lot of children are being born, and, you know, everyone wants to donate their, you know, gartel. So, okay, he'll be for the Shabbos of his bar mitzvah, and that Shabbos, you know, everybody. But there are such places where they have a lot of these gartels flying around. Okay. Fine.
Could you also do the non-bow? Or is that also an issue?
Well, yeah, that's not a problem at all. One knot is not a problem at all. You and then filled in. Yeah, exactly. Fine. Some like Shabbos, he has a whole discussion about various knots. He thought that maybe you could do when you tie your shoes, so you tie a knot, one knot, then you do a bow. So he argued you can make a knot on top of the bow. It's not called a double knot if the two knots aren't connected. If you have a bow in between, a knot, a bow, and a knot on top. And he argues that you can pull it out. I tried it. I don't know. From my shoes, it didn't really come out right so easily. So I'm not exactly sure what he's talking about. I mean, look, if you have a kid who's like, you know, again, before Velcro, everybody had shoes with laces, and you know, 1 year old kid didn't know how to tie his shoes. It was always annoying, so the shoes would always come out. So the question becomes: in the poskim, can you make a double knot for a kid? Because we mentioned before, a double knot is something we're choshesh about uman, but it's really seems to be a chumrah. So in tzarech gadol, we were makom tzar. Maybe you can make a double knot if the kid keep. You know, it's annoying for the child. Usually, you don't make the knot so tight anyway on shoes because you want to undo it. So there is grounds to be makel. Malcolm Tzarek to make a double knot, but the Orchestra says it's eights of making a knot, a bow, and a knot on top. I just didn't really figure out. I think that if you need to, you probably make it just a double knot. In any case, this issue is very relevant for ties. If you wear a tie, there are different types of ties. So there's, I think, like a double Windsor, is that what it's called? So that doesn't really come out. But there's a regular, simple tie where like you just pull it one meshicha and the whole thing comes out. So the poskim are machalik between two types of knots. That if it's a single, and it can easily come out, so then it would be mutter to make on Shabbos because it's not a shame knot. It's like a bow essentially. Whereas if it's a double, so then you really have this knot. It's analogous to the shoes where you're making a knot, and on top of the knot there's a bow, and therefore that type of knot you shouldn't make on Shabbos. Now. If your derech is always undo it the same day, so it would be like a shoe, you mutter. But if your derech is to take off your tie and to leave your tie on a hanger, so then it would be usher to make that type of tie on Shabbos because. So again, the pashas of a single shouldn't be a problem at all. But I saw some poskim want to chosher even a single shoe. You shouldn't do. Again, it really depends on your derech. You know, I generally don't undo my ties. I just have my ties, and I make them and I slide them on and off. So that's more of an issue. So if my tie gets undone, so then to make a new tie on Shabbos would be a problem, especially if you're making a double, because the double Windsor is really like equivalent of a. And even if I have an intention to undo it, it's like a person who always slips off their shoes. If you always slip off your shoes, then it's really an issue. Most people who slip off their shoes, usually their laces get undone after a week anyway. So there's a tzad to say that it's, within a week it's fine. But ties. People go years with the same ties, and they slip them on, slip them off, and they never undo them. So the fact that you this time want to have intention to undo it, it's not going to be, it's not going to solve the problem. You hear what I'm saying?
It's also be true if you make a double before Shabbos, uh-huh. You can undo it on Shabbos.
Right, undoing it would be a problem. Yeah. For most people, who undo them. Also, you know, if you're the type of person who leaves them, you're not going to undo them, you know, intentionally. There's just different, styles. Some people feel like it ruins the tie if you don't undo it. You have to let it. Other people say it works for me. It works. You know? Okay. Fine.
Tightening's not an issue.
So I think when you tighten the tie, you're not really tightening the knot. See, like you're just moving the knot along the. It doesn't tighten the knot. Tightening a real knot is Asar and Shabbos. So it sits this. But here it doesn't act. You don't actually tighten the knot when you move it. You in most cases. Okay. I mean, you theoretically could if you feel like it's too short. You want to like make it longer. That would be the equivalent of tightening. That would be an issue. But most people who leave their ties connected, so it's usually the right. It fits. You know, you don't need to start adjusting it. Fine. Sifav. Koshim chelv hnei aparav yishvil shal teitzi afilu b'shnei rashi ha-pesach. L'chashin Hashem yati rosh ha-echav yotzi derech sham v'nech rosh ha-sheni koshur. So if I want to tie a rope so the animal can't escape, so I'm tying it at two sides of the door. So maybe we should be concerned that you're going to open up one side and the other side you'll leave forever. So we don't assume that way because usually the derech was that you would take off the rope when you were freeing the animal, and you wouldn't leave one side kosher. Okay. Zayin, Metavlin Hevel shall guard the fish orig, Pasha Abus with para. The Hashir Hashem, Yati Rosh Ayaka, Vinek Rosh Hashem in the Kaim. Afal Hevel, the Amalo. So again, here too, if you have a regular rope that you might leave there, that's a concern. But if it's a special rope, you have a gartel, you're not going to leave your gartel attached to the cow. Fani Vilu Kasha be Abus with para. Afal Imhaya Kasha be Abus, Rosa Kasha with para. Imhaya Kasha with para, Rosa Kasha be Abus, Mutu Bakal Hevel. A regular rope, if you have a cow, and there's a rope attached to the trough, and you want to attach the cow to the trough. So obviously you're going to undo it. You're not going to leave the cow attached to the trough forever. So there's no concern that even if it's a rope, you can tie the rope from the trough to the cow, because when the cow is finished eating, you're going to untie that rope. And therefore there's no concern that it's going to be kayama. Again, you have to make sure that it's not a kesher uman, and we're pretty machmir on what a kesher uman might be, so I'm not sure how relevant it is anymore. But fundamentally, the same halacha applies. Okay. Just to add a couple of other ha'aras, Amir al-Akum, of course, is Asar on Shavuos. If it's Telegoy, the Isir Drabanan, the Makam Zarach Gadol, Shavuos to Shavuos, is a classic heter. So to tell a goy to be kosher, a kesher Drabanan, is sometimes helpful. The Erev falls down. So how are you going to fix the Erev on Shavuos? So there's one question you should tell everybody. Maybe it's better not to tell them Mutav Shishogin, but it's obviously better to have the Erev fixed. So can you tell a goy to fix the Erev on Shabbos? Yes, you can. Now, if you can do it in Isser Drabanan, that would be great. You know, if you can do it with a bow. It's often not easy. These are hard things to, you're just like standing on top of a ladder, you know, on your tippy toes. So it's not always so easy. So the minhag is to tell a goy to do Isser Daraisa when it comes to Tzachir Rabbi. Right? So this is a mikshol of all of the community is going to violate Shabbos, so we can tell the guy to fix the Erev with the Siddurais. But ideally, if it was, let's say it was only one individual, so you can tell the guy to do a Siddurabad and by kosher to help you out, that would be mutter to Shusvos, Shusvos, Bimakom, Bimakom, Tzarech Kodal. In terms of Matir, so we didn't really discuss it so much. Matir is the flip side, of course, of kosher. Any kesher that you're chayav on kshira, so there's a flip side of matir. I think we did mention last time the issue that comes up sometimes when your shoes get your laces get tangled and you want to undo your shoes. So that would be a potential issue of matir. It's a double knot. Usually it becomes a double knot. And we said double knot, we're worried it's a kesher uman. So the minhag is to assume that's okay, because first of all, is a double knot really a kesher uman? It's not so clear. It's a shalig yomarim, it's choshesh. It's hard to imagine that every double knot is a kesher uman. So Chazon Ish says it's just a chumra. And also there's tsar here, and you didn't even intend to make it. It wasn't a knot that was intended to be there. So it could be doesn't have a shem knot. There are different svaras lahatir, v'lemaisa, that's where we're more that you're allowed to undo a knot that, of your shoes that came, that were knotted by mistake on Shabbos. There is another discussion by Matir, interesting Yavshar Shlomo. He argues, what's the Isra of Matir? To undo a knot. So let's say I have, a bakery cake. It comes with a box, and on the box there's like this like rope. Like a little string. So there's a knot. So the issue, Lechara, is to undo the knot. What about cutting the rope? Is cutting the rope included in the Isra of Matir? Lechara, not. Yamshar Shlomo argues, he says that when you cut a rope, that's the Isser of Matir, because kosher is to connect two things, and Matir is to separate them. So Mali, if I separate them by undoing the knot, Mali, if I separate them by cutting the rope. This is a very big chiddush. It's not intuitive at all. Some want to deny it, you know, it can't be, maybe it's only if you cut the knot, so it's undoing the knot. But the passage of the Yamshar Shlomo is that even if you cut the string, not near the knot, you violated the Isser of Matir. Okay, I mean, usually in the classic cases, you know, the bakery case is actually similar to the Ramah earlier. You buy a cake, and when they sell you the cake, they don't think you're going to leave the cake in the box forever. They're selling it to you till you get home. So there's a svara to say that it's mutter to undo that knot. Even if it was there for 2 days, let's say you bought it on Thursday and now it's a Friday night. So you got Thursday morning, it's Friday night, it's more than 24 hours. But still, you know, it was made for temporary uses just till the customer comes home. So the passage is mutter to undo that knot. If you want to undo it before Shabbos. But according to the Yashar Shlomo, cutting the string is equivalent to undoing the knot, which is a very big chiddush, but some are machmir for that as well. It's interesting, in Lamdus, it's interesting, you know, it's like the malacha isn't to make a knot, to undo a knot. The malacha is to connect or to disconnect. So cutting the string is disconnecting. It's interesting. Interesting sheet.
It's like interesting also because I'm like, why would one make a difference? Because not be shown the knot itself, just be shown like that's a stronger way to connect something. But meanwhile, something else could be strong. Just,
right.
I mean,
right.
It's not even the knot itself, it's to do with the connection.
Right. Here is it. Okay. So that takes care of Siman Shin and Zayin. Siman Shin Ches deals with B'dinei Bishul, the large Siman. Interestingly, it begins not with halachas of Bishul per se, but really halachas of Masa Shabbos. Masa Shabbos means that if a person violated Shabbos, you're not supposed to be nene from his violation of Shabbos. Now, the example brought in the Gemara is a Mavashal of Shabbos. But it really, it's true of any halacha. If a person, you know, wrote on Shabbos, or a person did Borah on Shabbos, a person did Otsah on Shabbos, any malach on Shabbos potentially has an issue of Masa Shabbos. Otsah might be actually different, but we'll see a little later. So, I want to learn this din of Masa Shabbos. We'll read this, the Shulchan Aruch first, but really it's not connected to Bishul at all. The Mechaber says, HaMavashal Shabbos Sh'asa Achas B'Shar Malachos V'meizir Asur Lo La'olam V'Acherim Mutar Lo'Soy Shabbos Miyar. So if a person does Bishul or any other Lametes Malachas on Shabbos, if he does it intentionally, intentionally means he knows it's Shabbos and he knows it's Asur, he doesn't Afal Pichin. You know, a Chiloni can violate B'mezi. The fact that he was never went to Yeshiva doesn't mean that he's Shogeg. He knows there's something called Shabbos. You know, again, if he's really, he lives in Wyoming and he never saw a Frum Jew, so then maybe he's a Shogeg. But most Chilonim know that the Orthodox Jews don't do it. They just don't think it's, they just think that, you know, being Orthodox is a Chumrah. But that's called Mezid. It's not called Shogeg. I mean, I don't think we're going to argue that the fact that they, again, they're Tinuk Shanishba, we love them, we want to carve them, you know, we're not Chas Shalom, you know, going to be Morin Vilamalin. But that doesn't mean that it's Shogeg. It's still Mezid. So a person does a malach of a mezid, it's also a olam. He can never benefit from it. So in the case of cooking, he can never eat that item. V'la'acherim mutar motzei Shabbos miyad. V'la'acherim, other Jews can benefit motzei Shabbos. Now it's interesting here, it's mutar miyad. When a goy does a malach on Shabbos, so we don't let you v'nena miyad. We require a shir zman of kedei shiyasu. That's out of concern that you're going to ask a goy to do malach for you, so you'll have it right after Shabbos. So we say, no, it's a way kedei shiyasu. You shouldn't be enticed to ask a goy. By a Jew, we don't have that concern. We don't think you're going to ask a Jew, or we don't think he's going to listen to you, even if you do ask him. And therefore, there's no need for kedei shiyasu. There is a machlokas achronim. What about a mumur? If a person's not from, should we be concerned that you might ask a non-from Jew to do something? You certainly shouldn't do it. But so there are some poskim who say that by a mumur you should wake kedei shiyasu like a goy. But others are mekel, literally Muslims mekel. In any case, the Mechaber passages here, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the mezid also la'olam v'lacherim mutar motzei Shabbos miyad. Uveshogeg, first of all, uveshogeg, asur bo b'yom, is asur that same day of Shabbos, kam la'acherim, for him and for others. There mutar miyad, and it's mutar right away after Shabbos, and then the Ramah says, or the editor says, v'im amr le'nei Yehudi, you should look in Siman Shin Zayin. Okay, so just a little background. This is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But there is another opinion in the Gemara, a more makel opinion, that of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir holds that Maisa Shabbos, B'mezid is Mutter after Shabbos, Bein Bo'olol, Bein L'Acherim, it's not Israel Olam. And Rishogeg is Mutter Bo'bayom, even for the person who did it. Even the person who did it. Now, the Rambam and the Rif paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch follows their psak. But the Tosfos paskin like Rabbi Meir. And the Gra says that the halach is like Rabbi Meir. So the Mishnah Berurah here importantly points out that b'shas hatzorech, you can rely on the opinion of the Gra, who paskin like Tosfos. And this is very nogeh halach lemaisa. So if a person violated Shabbos b'shogeg, so it's mutter on Shabbos, even for themselves, immediately it's mutter. So for example, this happened in our house 2-3 weeks ago, and my wife doesn't eat gluten, so she made a mushroom barley soup. But since she made it herself, she took a bowl of a different soup and put it on the platter for herself on Erev Shabbos, because she wasn't going to eat the mushroom barley soup. And then she put tchina in the soup. That's how she, it's an Israeli thing. You put tchina in your soup. Okay, tchina is not cooked. So this is a kli rishon. Usually don't think of it. Usually a soup is always a kli sheni, if not a kli shlishi. Again, if you hold the ladle as a kli, it's a kli shlishi. No problem. You can put, you know, ice cube in your soup. No problem. Kli sheni, kli shlishi, not a problem. But this soup that my wife had was a kli rishon. She took the soup, the bowl. She didn't do it. Somebody else did it. That's why she wasn't thinking about it. Somebody else served the bowl of soup that was placed on the plata before Shabbos in front of her, and she put tchina in it. So when she cooked the tchina on Shabbos, b'shogeg. So b'makom atzorech, it's mutter. What's makom atzorech? So the person can say, listen, if you have nothing else to eat, it's mutter. Maybe if you have no other hot food, it's mutter. But we had plenty of other food. So she didn't have the soup. And having soup, and when you have four other dishes for your meal, that's not called atzorech, l'chara. But not having any food, or even not having hot food, that would be considered a tzarech.
They don't cook anything in tchina at all?
Pardon?
Completely raw?
Yeah, tchina is raw, and there's also water in tchina. Tchina is raw.
What? Oh, in the dip.
In the dip. The tchina dip is raw tchina. I mean, it could be they have some ones that are cooked. We use raw tchina. And
is it homemade tchina dip?
Yeah, I mean, no, you take tchina called meat, you know, the raw tchina, and you put water in it.
Water, yeah.
Yeah, so that's special. This is how it comes up. You know, let's say a person, you go to somebody's home, and they serve you a salad. And the woman says, yeah, I woke up this morning at 6 o'clock, I made the salad. And when you make a salad, you violate the Isur of Borer. Now it's mutert l'tzarech miyad. Right? Again, you don't violate it if you do it tzarech miyad. But let's say they made the salad b'isr. They made the salad through borer, whatever the case may be. So it's b'shogeg. They didn't want to violate Shabbos. They don't know Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos is pretty complicated. So if a person violates Shabbos b'shogeg, are you allowed to benefit from that? So according to the Mechaber, it's only mutter after Shabbos, right? But according to the Gra, it's mutter on Shabbos. It's mutter on Shabbos. So if you feel like you need, it's a shasat chak, you know, the only thing they're serving is salad. It looks very funny. You're not eating it. You know, usually they serve 15 things. So you don't eat the salad. It's not a problem. But, it's already on your plate. It's in your mouth. You have to spit it out. You don't have to spit it out. You can fit it. You can swallow it. Again, there are other kulas I should mention before we start this whole discussion. That there's an important principle. This is a knas. And the knas is only when it's us or the kol yama. So if I do something that some hold as mutter, there was no knas in that case. So again, it's hard to know exactly where to draw the line. This is a big issue. We hold the halacha, you should only do borer samach l'sud. There's a day in Rishonim that bin sud l'sud is mutter, meaning you just can't do it from the night for shalashudas. But if you do it from the night for the morning, that would also be permissible. So I'm not sure if you can rely on that opinion. Maybe you can say that this woman, she did it 6 in the morning, she made the salad before she went to shul. This is a big issue for people who go to shul. If a woman goes to shul, she wants to have the salad ready, start eating when she comes home, but then she has to make the salad before. Is that mutter? So the pashas says she shouldn't do such a thing. You shouldn't make a salad, go to shul, and then eat the salad. You should make the salad within a half an hour of your suda, samachal suda. So I was wondering, maybe that's also a legitimate shita. Maybe, you know, that shita, it's not nitcha legamrei. You know, again, the question is how far does the shita have to be brought in the postgame? How far along it has to be accepted for it to be considered a shita? If I hold a gravadia and you hold a gramosha, so I'm not going to say that it's a meisa Shabbos and you did like a gravadia. What do you mean? That's a legitimate shita. But like, if you follow, you know, Beis Shammai, we're not going to say it's a legitimate shita. So what if you follow the Urim? What if you follow, like, you know, how far back, you know, how far, you know, that's an interesting question.
Yeah,
the
panel today.
Okay. So in terms of Maisa Shabbos, it's a you know, look, I don't think they talked about Maisa Shabbos, but fine. The Seder. Anyway, like I said, this is a very, very huge sif. It's like one sif, but it's like a huge topic. I saw the Orach HaShabbos in his third volume. He has a whole parak about this, and he has a lot of chiddushim there. Others issues that I think some people argue with, but most of what I'm going to say comes from there. But there are a couple of issues that are subject to debate. So let's start analyzing this. Echad echad. So in terms of what Isser did, so what happens if you did Isser Drabanan? Is it Maaseh Shabbos? The knas only applied to Isser Doraisa or even to Isser Drabanan? So this is a machlokes. It's Meduk in the Ram. There's no Maaseh Shabbos and Isser Drabanan. And that's Adnash Mishra. So Adam Paskins. I should mention, though, there is an exception to the rule, a very important exception, and that is when it comes to the Malacha or the Gezeres Rabbanan of Shehiya, Chzara, and Atzmana. Those Isurim are even Aser Veshogeg Vidrabbanan, and that has far-reaching consequences. But, you know, for example, when it comes to Bishul Drabanan, there's no Isser of Maisa Shabbos. So let's say a person added salt to Kli Rishon, Shalog Aviyesh. Happens a lot. You add salt to the soup, to the pot. So you're not supposed to do that. So, is the salt cooked? So that's a self question. Salt often is pre-cooked, meaning the sea salt, the way they harvest it, I think they have to like, cook it toch kedei. So it's actually roasted. It's actually interesting. Shiloh, it's not really cooked. It's roasted, but cooked. But okay, whatever. But let's assume it's cooked. Now, even let's say it's not cooked. Let's say you added uncooked salt. So is it going to aser? So here's a very interesting debate. The Orgel Shabbos argues that this iser is really an iser hana. So the question is, did I get hana from this? So if I had salt, I added a little more salt. But it already had salt. It's like Zev is a Gorem. Can you like say that there's it's not called a Hana? It's not called a Hana. Or do you look at it as like, you know, Mechalas Asuros? So, you know, I have Isser here. I've cooked salt that I cocked on Shabbos and it's going to Aser the whole Tarovis. So I saw an interesting debate. Orchel Shabbos argues that if you have a hot water urn, and somebody adds a cup of water, cold water, to your urn. So he says you can drink the water. So why is that? He says, listen, you had 50 cups. He added one more cup. So you drink 50. You don't drink the last cup. And it couples with the fact that he says somebody else added it to your urn. Maybe he can't aser it. It's a knas. Maybe he can't aser it. He's not looking at it like machalas asuros. Quite, right? Another way of looking at it is, I know this is like, it's like treif. So if I have like a cup of treif that fell into my urn, so I can't, and for Karen, it's maybe worse than treif because it's davar sheyesh lo matirim. So even if it's batel, it won't be batel b'shishim because it's yesh lo matirim, drink it all after Shabbos. So there are really two different approaches to this whole thing. Do you look at it as like a sterile knas, or do you look at like komer like machal suras, and this is asal nafkamina for kalim? There's a discussion, Mishra Berurah is a debate. Do we say that if a person was mevashel mezi, that it answers the kalim? Right? Now, it's only going to answer for that person. So it has to be like a person who did shuva. He was violated Shabbos. He cooked, you know, kosher. If you cook treif, he has to kosher anyway. He cooked kosher on Shabbos. And now he does shuva. Does he have to kosher the kli? So we see the bliyas are there. So it's interesting. He quotes from Moshe Soloveitchik, who says that, no, the Rav is the father. That, I didn't know he made it into, you know, more yeshivish Kavar Hashem. In any case, Rosh Soloveitchik said that it's a knas, and it's not going to aser kalim, and if there's no hana, there's no iser. And the other approach is, they know, it becomes like machalas asuros, and it's going to aser the kalim, and it's going to be aser the food, even if it's less than shishim, because it's over shishim atirim. So they're really very different approaches to looking at the same case. You know, you add a cup of water into an urn, they say that's no problem because you had other water. I say, no, it's going to make everything aser. Very, very interesting debate. Fine. Now, a big issue that comes up when it comes to this din of Maaseh Shabbos is, how to define low and how do you define acherim? So if I ask you, what's low? First is the melacha. What's acherim? Acherim? Anybody else? The problem is that sometimes you do things for other people. So let's say I am a store owner. So I'm making food. So the Mechaber says, "Vashel b'Shabbos, amazing. Asur lo olam. Achirim mutar v'asei Shabbos. Can I go and eat the food that was prepared on Shabbos b'Isser? Achirim." So there's a Chacham Sofer who argues. Now, the Bogan Avraham already points out that when it comes to in Vatlan Shil Chatchila, we say if it was done for you, you're considered, the Knas applies. But the Bogan Avraham says, no, it's different over here. Here it's just the Knas of the person who did Isser Shabbos. But there's a Chsav Sofer, the son of Chsav Sofer, who says that a person who is selling things, so all the consumers are low, not a Acherim. So this is a big issue. Halacha l'maisa, this is one of the differences between mahadir milk and non-mahadir milk. That if the milk was milked by Isser on Shabbos, so the minerals give a hakshkacha, because even if they violate Shabbos, you're only going to buy it after Shabbos, and acherim after Shabbos, not a problem. Right? But the mahadir hakshkacha say, no, it was done for you, for the consumer. So you're like low. It's like, or they can, different argument to say that, well, it's also for him to sell. You know, it's also for him to sell because he's being nana from it. And again, it passes if you were mivashal on Shabbos, you weren't planning on selling it, you can sell it after Shabbos. It's only Asr b'achila. It's not Asr b'hana. We don't hold like a Ryokan Sandler, it's Asr b'hana. The 3 days in Tanaim, Ryokan Sandler, Yehuda, or Meir. But it could be that he did it to sell, so then we say that he really can't sell it. So when you buying it, you're going to buy the milk. He did it. Now, you're not buying it from the farmer, you're buying it from the makolet. So anyway, these are the chumras, the mahadir hashkachas are machmir. Mikra din, it's okay. Because even the truth is, usually today in Israel, there are very few Jews who are doing it. Most usually, they have Thailandi workers who are milking the cows. But this issue does come up. It potentially could come up if you have, produce that was harvested on Shabbos. It's just the thing is, you know the cows are milked twice a day. They're for sure going to milk the Shabbos. You don't have to be choshesh that the apple that you buy in the makolah was picked on Shabbos. It could be picked on Shabbos, and many people take the Shabbos' day off. It's not like, you don't have to be choshesh for that. Safek, you're not going to apply a safek. And to apply a chumrah on a safek that you as consumers, like him, there's no reason to be choshesh for that. By milking, you know. And in fact, some of the dairies actually print on the carton the day of the week it was produced. So if it was produced on Thursday, Friday, you know that it wasn't milked on Shabbos. If it was produced on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, then there's more of a serious concern that it was milked on Shabbos. Wednesday is like a suffix day. It's like apparently there's some milk. It's possible that it was milked on Shabbos, but unlikely. Yeah.
Not giving hashkafa to restaurants that are open on Shabbos, is that
hashkafic? So it's also based on this. It's certainly hashkafic. You don't want to have a restaurant open on Shabbos.
Even if it's owned by non-Jew?
So again, if it's owned by non-Jew, if it's owned by Jews, it's certainly inappropriate. If it's owned by non-Jews, so then there's a whole kashrus issues in having a non-Jew, running a restaurant, in terms of bishul akum and the like. But let's say you can get around those issues. It's a vegan restaurant, and vegan doesn't mean it's no bishul akum. It could be rice, as bishul akum, but rice is all the shulchan malachim. But like whatever, let's say you get around the issues. You have a pilot light that's there, and even though I think they did away with that because people are more, trying to be more conscious about conservation of energy. But if it's a non-Jewish restaurant and most of the consumers are non-Jews, I don't think that the Chasav Sofer is going to apply. Meaning, it wasn't. I don't think that's an issue. We're talking about Meisa Shabbos by a Jew. If a Jew, you're in the army. And another chayal cooks on Shabbos, so then the pot has the issue of blios, according to one opinion, for that chayal if he does tshuva. But for everybody else, it's not an issue anyway. So it's really not such a big issue, halacha
l'maisa.
It's purely hashkafa. Yeah. But that's also important. Okay. The Seder. So I think we're going to stop here now, and Mr. Shem will pick up next week.